This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Always before we begin by praising Allah, Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send our love and greetings and our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and his pure family, to his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah bless us to be amongst them. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant our hujjaj, Hajj Maqbool, Mabroor. May Allah grant him to return safely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the acts of ibadah to be accepted. Ameen. And we wish all of you that you had a blessed, happy Eid Mubarak. Kul amun wa antum bi khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all our deeds of goodness during the first 10 days of the Hijjah, and grant that the year ahead be a much better year for the Ummah. Ameen. Today's story time, alhamdulillah. You can relax, it's on a specific Sahabi, a Sahabi which you must have heard many times, An Jabir, right? You've heard An Jabir. He is one of the most prolific narrators of hadith. Jabir radiallahu anh is one of the companions who've narrated the most hadith. In fact, there are seven who narrated over 1,000 hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's amazing, none of these seven did the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to them, listen, sit here, take this hadith, write it down, narrate it. They just narrated it by being in his companionship, being next to him, observing, listening, and then memorizing, and then conveying. Jabir is one of these top seven. And what's amazing about these seven, you'd find all of them are young. They were all very, very young in the time of the Nabi Sallam. Anas, for example, when the Nabi Sallam passed away, he was 16. When the Nabi died, sallam, Anas only spent 10 years from 6 to 16. Aisha, we know, was a young lady when she married the Nabi. Jabir is also a very young man, basically a boy. And his whole life as a youth, he spent with the Nabi sallam, and then his whole life afterwards would be to narrate hadith. Now, why did I select Jabir? Two reasons why. We are in youth month, and I want to show how the Nabi sallam inspires an ordinary young companion to be so motivated to love the Nabi so much that I'm going to spend every day with him, memorize and learn hadith for the rest of my life. How did the Nabi change this man's heart? And why I chose him also, to show you the relevance of Jabir. Jabir radiallahu anh, of the hadith that he narrates, and this is actually a long introduction to the man, is that he narrates perhaps the most important hadith about Hajj. All the little bits you know about Hajj, you know parts of a very long hadith. Jabir narrates this hadith. And I won't go into the depths of the hadith, but just to show you, no one narrated the complete Hajj of the Nabi Sallam like Jabir did. And so I start the first hadith I mentioned of Jabir. Jabir is now an old man. He's blind. And one of the great, great grandsons of the Nabi Sallam comes to visit him. And he says, my uncle, you know, he's honoring this old man. Jabir is now an old man. And he says, I'm from the descendants, Ja'far al-Sadiq's father. Ja'far, the great Ja'far al-Sadiq is there. Right, the great, great grandson of the Nabi Sallam. And Jabir takes the face of this Ahlul Bayt and he hugs him and he says, MashaAllah, like, you know, family of the Nabi Sallam. And so he says, Jabir says, my son, ask me, what do you want to know? So the boy says to Jabir, tell me about the Hajj of my grandfather. I want to know how the Nabi Sallam made Hajj. So now the hadith begins. So Jabir smiles, he's blind and he's smiling. And he puts his hands up, nine. He says, for 9 years, no Hajj. We were in Medina, the Quraysh didn't allow us. Then, in the 10th year of the Hijrah, the Nabi Sallam announces, I'm going for Hajj. And everybody responds. This is the real Rasul's travels into us. Rasul is going Hajj. So everybody said, we're going to go with. And so when the announcement went, everyone was so excited. At that time, Jabir was like maybe 20 years old. So he's now a young man. He's now thinking back 50 years in the past. And he said, and this is, I'm not going to go through all the details, but he said, when the announcement was given and we went to the miqat to put on our ihram, the Nabi, I was with the Nabi Sallam, and when I looked up, I just saw people. Where did all the 100,000 people, wherever I looked, I've never seen so many people in my life. We are standing at the miqat. And the Nabi Sallam was stood up on his camel so that we could all see him. And he now mentioned, I'm entering the state of Ihram, and we all followed as he did. And we all entered Ihram. And he was saying, and Jabir is like nostalgic, and he says, ah, those were the good old days. The Nabi Sallam was still alive, and the Quran was still being, Allah was still revealing revelation. He's like, ah, the good old days. And just as we entered in our Ihram, Abu Bakr comes running to the Nabi Sallam. Abu Bakr said, ya Rasulullah, I've got a problem. What's the problem? My wife just went into labor. Abu Bakr's wife, radiallahu anh, she's heavily pregnant. She's going on Hajj. She goes into labor at the miqat. What must she do now with Ihram? So now the Nabi says she also must enter the Ihram. The lady in Hayd also enters Ihram. She just ghusls herself like everybody else, and everything is fine. Okay, so now we learn something about Hajj. And then Jabir said, we all made the talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. It was such a wonderful vibe. Everyone is making talbiyah. And some people had a different type of talbiyah. And the Nabi did not stop them. They added, Laka wal mulk wal hamd, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah. They added little bits of extra adhkar. The Nabi Jabir said he did not stop anybody. But the talbiyah that you know, the labbaik Allahumma labbaik, the one we know, is the one the Nabi recited. He only recited that one, which means that's the best one. He only recited that. Again, Jabir is sticking to the Nabi Sallam like glue. And he's learning these details. How does the Nabi Sallam make a 20-year-old, a young man, so keen? We'll get to that's the whole point of the khutbah, inshallah. So now Jabir says, we came to Mecca and we performed our umrah, tawaf, and sa'i. We performed the umrah for those who were right. And then when we were done with the umrah, again, a tidbit of hajj, when we were done, the Nabi says, there's a new type of hajj now. Allah revealed to me there's a new type of hajj. In this hajj, for those of you who have not brought your qurban animal with you from Medina, now that you're done with Umrah, you exit your Ihram. It's called Tamattu Hajj. Before this, the type of Hajj is you arrive in Mecca in Ihram, and you stay in Ihram until Arafah. So if you arrive 2-3 weeks before the time, you stay in Ihram the whole time. This is how Hajj used to be. The Nabi says, now there's a new type. So the Sahab even said, ya Rasulullah, is it just this year or forever? So the Nabi says, till Qiyamah. This is the type of Hajj now. That this is how we're going to make Hajj. And if I can come back, and if Allah allows me, inshallah, to come back next year, I will do that. However, if you brought your animal with you to Mecca, you came with your animal from South Africa, you put him in the Emirates flight, you brought your sheep with you, you cannot exit your Ihram. So all those who came with sheep, you must stay in Ihram till at the end of Hajj. As for the rest of you, exit Ihram, and it's better for you. It's the better, like, you know, the Nabi is encouraging. Tamattu. Allah has, the Nabi Sallam, of course, understood that this was for the Ummah. One way we could say, perhaps, obviously the better Hajj would be to stay in Ihram for 3 weeks. But now Tamattu is better because it's the Sunnah. And the Nabi Sallam said, this is the Sunnah, but I'm going to stay longer because I brought my animal with me. Okay? So he did the long one, the difficult one. But he said, next year, inshallah, when I come, I won't bring my animal. Yeah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amazing. Right? And so now everyone is going out of the Ihram. Who could? And now Jabir adds a little bit to the questioner. Remember, this is the great grandson of Sayyidina Ali. And so then he said, and you know what? Your dad, your great, Sayyidina Ali wasn't with us from Medina. He was coming from Yemen. He was on an expedition, he came from Yemen. And when he arrived in Mecca, he performed his Umrah, and he comes to your great grandmother Fatima, and he finds her with normal clothes. And he says, A'udhu billah, what is this? So you're not in Ihram? How can you not be in Ihram? So she said, Fatima is saying, radiallahu anha, my dad told me that we exit Ihram and all of this. And Sayyidina Ali says, oh, I'm not sure about this thing. I'm first going to speak to the Nabi Sallam. And so he says, is it true? We can exit our Ihram. So the Nabi says to Sayyidina Ali, yes, you can. She spoke the truth. And then the Nabi asked Sayyidina Ali, what was your niyyah when you entered the Ihram? So Sayyidina Ali said, ya Rasulullah, My niyyah, I said, Allah, I enter the ihram to emulate whatever the Nabi is on. Whatever his ihram is my ihram. So the Nabi said, well, then you're going to stay with me in ihram. We're going to stay together now in ihram for a week or so. So then Jabir mentions, so Sayyidina Ali stayed in ihram, Fatima was not in ihram. So he's adding this little bit because it's your family members. Right, then he mentions the day of Tarwiyah came, the day before Arafah. Those who were not in ihram entered ihram. We went to Mina, we stayed there, nothing happened, no jamarat. And then we got ready for Arafah. So then Jabir mentions the Nabi got to Arafah before Dhuhr time. And there was a habit of the Quraysh. The Quraysh had this practice that they would stand outside Arafah and the rest of the people would enter Arafah. Why? Because the Quraysh said, we are already Allah's people. We are the chosen people. You filthy people need to get your sins forgiven at Arafah. We stand outside. And the Quraysh, those who just recently embraced Islam, they were sure the Nabi was going to do the same. Because he pauses outside Arafah. He stops just outside Arafah and he waits. So, oh, okay, this is a Qurayshi thing still. But the minute the waqt of Dhuhr came in, the Nabi stepped into Arafah. Why did he do this? To show the whole ummah. Wukuf begins deliberately. I'm showing you. The wukuf of Arafah begins the minute it is Dhuhr time. Everything he did was fiqh. Then he stood in a place. Jabir says he stood on a prominent place, the mount, on an elevated place, and he gave that amazing khutbah that we all know. An Arab is not better than a non-Arab. A white person is not better than a black person. Your money is sacred like this place. That amazing khutbah that we know, he gave that khutbah. And then he performed Dhuhr and Asr together. He made the salah together. Then Jabir says the Nabi found a spot. He faced the Qibla and he just stayed there the whole day in dua. We spoke about this last week. The Nabi just stood and made intense dua until sunset. When the sun had set, the Nabi joined, he is now, Arafah is finished. The Nabi joined on a camel with Usama, another, we should all know again, Usama, another young man, Usama, the adopted son of the Nabi Zayd, this is his son. We should all know these names. These are very important names. I know the only Usama you know is Usama bin Laden. This is Usama. This is like the grandson of the Nabi. Usama's nickname was Hibbun Nabi. Usama, the beloved of the Nabi. This is Usama. So Usama now gets a ride with the Nabi. They're sharing a camel. And the Nabi says to everyone, and subhanAllah, it's one of the things we've missed on Hajj. After Arafah, he made us stressed. Slowly. Take it easy. Don't rush. Don't rush. And those who've been on Hajj, you know, when you leave Arafah, it's like a mad traffic jam. He said, slowly. And they went very slowly to Muzdalifah, to the point where Usama said, the waqt is going out, we're going to miss Maghrib. We didn't make Maghrib. He said, don't worry, we're going to make Maghrib and Isha'i together in Muzdalifah. We got to Muzdalifah, Jabir says, we made Maghrib and Isha'i, the Nabi slept. No tahajjud, nothing. Okay. We woke up the next day, Fajr time, and we went to Mina. And of course, there's a lot of details in here. I'm just extracting a few things. On the way, there's a nice tidbit that Jabir adds. Now the Nabi Sallam is on the camel with his cousin, another younger cousin called Fadl. Now someone else is sharing a camel with the Nabi Sallam, Al-Fadl. And Jabir said Al-Fadl was a young man and he was a handsome guy. And then a group of ladies came to the Nabi Sallam to ask him a question. They're still in ihram. They just came from Arafah. And while they're talking, the Nabi Sallam noticed Fadl is looking at these ladies. He's in ihram, but he's staring at these girls. They're pretty. And the Nabi doesn't say anything to Fadl. He just moves his face to one side. And after a minute, Fadl looks again. And the Nabi moves his face again. So Jabir just adds that 2-3 times, but not once. The Nabi says, A'udhu Billah, you are on Arafah. Fadl, what's wrong with you? He just moves his face politely. Not now. It's not the time. This is Hajj. You're in ihram. And so then he said, Jabir said, we came to Mina. The Nabi threw the jamarat. He qurbaned. In one narration, the Nabi says, I'm qurbaning on behalf of Muhammad and my family and the whole and those of my ummah who don't have a qurban. And he qurbaned 100 sheep on the day of Eid. 100 sheep. And then he put on normal clothes, he's out of ihram. And then he went to Makkah to perform tawaf and sa'i. And just the last part that Jabir adds, when he got to the haram, he saw his own family, Banu Hashim, his tribe. Their job was to take the water out of the Zamzam well and to give it to the Hajis. And when the Nabi comes to them, he says, yeah, I wish, if I could, I would jump in the well with you guys and do this. Because it's my family is doing it. But if I did this now, the whole ummah will make it a part of Hajj. Everybody will then have to go and take something out. He knows, and this shows you his fiqh. He's not talking about 10,000, 100,000. He knows a time's going to come, we're going to have 5 million people here. All of them can't go and give it zamzam. So I'm not going to do it, but I wish I could. In another hadith, he also mentions, I'm standing here, but the whole thing is Arafah. Don't fight for the spot where I'm standing. His fiqh of understanding the ummah is going to be. Now all of this was intro to this man, Jabir. How do you get a young person to be so in love with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he sticks to him so completely? Jabir radiallahu anhu, he's from the Ansar, he's from the Sahaba of Medina, he wasn't from Makkah. And when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made Hijrah, Jabir's dad dies in the Battle of Uhud. Jabir's father passes away in the Battle of Uhud and leaves behind, Jabir is the only boy in the house, he's got 9 sisters and debt. His dad leaves him with debt. In fact, his dad told him, I don't want you to fight in the battle. I have debts. You have young sisters. You're the only person that must keep things together. And the only thing Jabir's dad leaves him with is a crookie of a camel. The old camel, basically on the half-dead camel. That's the only position he has. So now, Jabir tells us, now we skip to another hadith. Jabir tells us, I was always with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the battle. I was on many battles with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I was always there. And one of the first battles he attended, now he's a boy of 15, 16. He says, I was on the battle with the Nabi Sallam. We were on our way back to Medina. And all I had was this junk camel, this camel that is so old. And I have this debts, and I have these sisters. So he's really down and out. He's quite depressed. And the camel was so weak, it was falling behind. And like he almost gave up trying to keep up with the army. He's like, khalas, I can't keep up. I'm just going to go 20. The rest of you can go 60. I'm just going to fall behind and I'll get there when I get there. And he's really, really despondent. And he said, I was like this. And you know, as you're on the camel, you eventually doze in and doze out. And when he sort of woke up, he saw the Nabi Sallam is standing next to him. So the Nabi Sallam slowed down from the main peloton, or the main part of the army. And he slows down because he noticed, one of my companions is falling behind. And so the Nabi Sallam goes side by side to this 14-year-old boy, 13-year-old boy. And he says, the Nabi Sallam greets him and says, why are you so sad? What's wrong? I can see you. You're down. You're quite miserable. What's wrong? And now Jabir lets it out. My dad died in Uhud, and I've got 9 sisters, and I've got no money, and I have debts, and this camel is the only thing I have, and look how slow it is. And now Jabir is complaining. So the Nabi says, okay, put the camel down. I'm going to do some mechanic work here. And the Nabi Sallam taps the camel, and Jabir says, this camel becomes a Ferrari. So fast, I couldn't even, it not only caught up with the army, it went right in front. It's now leading the pack. I had to struggle to keep this camel in place. The Nabi Sallam panel beat this camel, and now it's, so the Nabi's like, oh, mashallah, the camel is good now. Now the Nabi says to him, give me the camel. It's a good camel now, right? Nice. I want it. Give it to me. So Jabir, now what's beautiful in the hadith, Jabir is speaking from his perspective. He says, I couldn't, this is the only thing I have, my only property is this thing, I have debts. And I felt inside, I said, no, I can't, Ya Rasul, I can't give it, this is the only thing I have, but you can have it, you can, one narration is here, you can have it, you can lend it, you can have it. And then Nabi says, no, sell it to me, I want to buy it. And Jabir says, we're back and forth, almost like 25 times. The Nabi says, may Allah have mercy on you, Jabir, I want to buy it, sell it to me. And eventually Jabir said, he's so insistent. I said, okay, fine, if you insist, you can sell it, I'll sell it to you. So now they enter a negotiation. So the Nabi says, Jabir, okay, I'm going to give you 1 rand for the camel, 1 dirham. It's like a useless price. Now also it shows you the adab of Jabir. I mean, he's still new. A Sahabi, the more senior ones would not negotiate like this. So Jabir said, no, that's too little for a camel, Ya Rasulullah. If it was Abu Bakr, he would say, you know, you can ride my back, Ya Rasulullah. Right? But he's a young man. He's like our youth today. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, it's too little. I don't give you Rasulullah, but this is too little for a camel. So it's okay, 2. And now they negotiate. Eventually it gets to a price where Jabir says, okay, I'm happy with that price. So the Nabi Sallam actually asks him, are you happy with this price, Jabir? And he said, yes. And in this, there is a fiqh ruling, subhanAllah, how must do business. A hadith that says, you should buy and sell things so that both parties feel comfort in their hearts. You must almost check, are you really happy with this? You good. The Jabir says, I'm good. But he says, yes, I have a condition. You mustn't take the camel now. Otherwise, I'm going to have to walk to Medina. Let me ride it to Medina first, then you can have the camel. So this is okay, no problem. It shows you also you can put additional clauses. In every fiqh book, this hadith is there. Nothing to do with the camel. But is you can add a clause into a transaction. So now Jabir says, okay, I'm going to ride the camel to Medina. And and he starts off galloping again. And I say, hey, where are you going? Why are you so quick? Let's come back. What's going on? So Jabir says, Ya Rasulullah, I just got married before the battle. I'm still in my honeymoon phase. So I'm excited to go home. You know, this camel was slow, but if it were, So then I said, no. Don't do that. Let the ladies know you're coming. So that the one who hasn't combed her hair, she can brush her hair. She hasn't washed her hair. She hasn't. Let come tomorrow. Let the news go first. So she can prepare herself for you. Don't come on her and she's, you know, all disheveled and all of that. And the Nabi asks him, now they're chatting. Again, now this is Rasulullah, but he's talking man to man, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did you marry a young lady like yourself? Or an older lady? Am I getting to talk? So he said, no, Rasulullah, I married a previously widowed lady. Almost like an auntie. So Nabi said, why? You should have married someone your age. You make her happy, she makes you happy, you can laugh and play. Meaning there's more, and there's a compatibility, it's important. It would have been more appropriate for a young man to marry a young lady. So listen to what Jabir says. He says, no, Ya Rasulullah, sallam, my dad left us me with 9 younger sisters. Like they're all useless young girls. I didn't want to marry another useless young girl. That's not going to... I married an auntie who can teach them and take care of them. So the Nabi says, you made a good choice. And yeah, he says, no, that's good. That's right. I approve. That was the right thing to do. I married a woman. I have too many cute young girls to deal with. I married a woman. So the Nabi says, okay. So now Jabir says, I went back to Medina. And I told my uncle, I met my uncle and I told him about, I sold the camel to the Nabi Sallam. And my uncle, how could you do it? That's the only property we have. What's wrong with you? Blah, blah, blah. What can I do? I sold it. He insisted. He goes to his wife and he tells her the same story. And she said, Saman wa ta'an. If this is what the Nabi Sallam asked you, go and obey. Go to the masjid and go and give him the camel. So when Jabir gets to the masjid, he finds the Nabi Sallam there. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, yeah, I've brought you the camel. And the Nabi says to Bilal, oh Bilal, pay Jabir the amount and Zid, add a little bit more. Also another business ruling, if you wanted to, you can tip, no problem. So with the riba and all that, we never think about these things. Is it the riba when I tip the guy 10%? No, you can give more if you want to, the seller, the buyer. So he said, oh Bilal, give Jabir and add a little tip there. So Jabir takes the money, alhamdulillah, and he leaves. And the Nabi says, yeah Jabir, come back. Do you really think I'm going to take your camel from you? The money is for you and the camel is for you. He saw, number one, the leader sees, this is young boy, not one of the senior guys, broken, sad, despondent. It would have been so easy for him to say, yeah, here's a check. But it would not have had the impact that it had. This whole back and forth teasing me, playing around, sell me the camel and negotiating to make me feel like I'm really having a one-on-one with the Nabi Sallam. And just to say, it's for you, man. Take the camel and take the money and be okay. Now he's Jabir. Now he's going to make sure that he's always with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His heart changed that day, that I'm going to stick with this man. This is my hero. This is my hero. And subhanAllah, we can spend 1,000 plus hadith. We're not going to mention all of it, but we conclude with one beautiful hadith about Jabir and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Jabir says that at the Battle of the Trench, now they were digging the trench, and we were going through a type of a famine. And everybody was hungry and starving. It was very, very difficult. And then the Nabi was in the trench with us, he's digging. And as he's breaking the rocks, I saw something I could not bear. He had a stone wrapped around his abdomen to keep from the hunger. And I couldn't take this. So I rushed back home to my wife, that same wife that Jabir spoke, this lady. And he said, my wife, you know, I know things are tough. Is there anything that we can make a supper and I can invite the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So she said, you know, we only have the small little goat and some dough. I can make bread. And she says, Jabir, listen, it's only enough for 2-3 people. Not the whole jama'ah, not the whole tabligh jama'ah can come. So tell the Nabi Sallam. So she's a big lady. Don't put me in the eyes. Invite the Nabi Sallam and 1 or 2 people maybe, but that's all we have. Jabir says, no problem. And he goes back to the Nabi Sallam and he whispers, Ya Rasulullah, my wife is inviting you for supper and maybe 1 or 2 people. And the Nabi Sallam says, oh jama'ah. Jabir has invited us for supper. And Jabir runs to his wife. It wasn't me. I was in trouble. And the Nabi says, Jabir, tell your wife not to dish out the food. Wait till I get there, I'll dish out the food. And so the Nabi comes to the house and he tells the Sahaba, everyone is hungry. They're all queue. He says, no, you must queue now. It's like really? You can imagine the fact that the Sahaba, Abu Bakr, Umar, they must stand in a queue waiting for food. It shows you how hungry they were. And so the Nabi says, I will dish. And he starts dishing. He takes 10 at a time. He dishes and dishes and dishes. And Jabir says, the food is not going up. It just remains. And the Sahaba asked him, how many people came to your house that day? He says, well over 1,000 people. 10 came in, and then 10 batches of 10. And by the time that we're done, the Nabi ate, and what was left, there was enough for us, for our neighbors, and leftovers for the next few days. Allahu Akbar. What's beautiful is just the mannerism of the Nabi Sallam in taking a young man who had no care about hadith and all, I mean, he's a pious man, but to transform him in just one moment in his life to become one of the most important narrators. Every haji on earth makes hajj according to that hadith of Jabir. رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى to grant us the level of iman to emulate them and to follow the sunnah of the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن شاء الله. جزاك الله خير. Just one announcement. Next week on Youth Day, we have our dora, and we'll have a few youngsters that will sleep over in the masjid, and we'll have a few programs, and we would like to contribute. You may, إن شاء الله. جزاك الله خير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.